It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783 to become part of tonight's show.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment and financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783, that's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will, what's a living will. And yes, it really can confuse you, but you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities?
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out-of-towners, call us toll-free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investments offered through HBEC Securities. Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management, investment advice through Lewis Financial Management, and securities through HBEC Inc. are not related entities.
It is a great day in the Carolinas today, isn't it?
Wow.
Doug and Deborah?
It certainly is.
Beautiful spring weather we're having.
Oh, I'm telling you, everything, the colors, there's no better state in the country to be in at this time of year.
The azaleas, the dogwoods, everything, just gorgeous.
Tulips.
Pansies.
The pansies are still
blooming.
Yes. Well, they're still hanging on.
Right.
Well, Doug, here we are getting closer to April 15th. And the market is responding well. We're up again. We're still up over 13,000.
Actually, this has been an incredible first quarter. I mean, it is it's a very strong beginning of a year, and all indicators are that we have a lot of good news waiting for us through the rest of the year. However, as you said, Linda, for a lot of people, the next 15 days are not the best time of the year.
Yes.
April 15th.
When your taxes are due.
When your taxes are due. And I would say, for those that are out there, there are still a few things you can do. You know, it's technically the year 2012. However, we're filing tax returns for 2011, and many people, unfortunately, don't even realize that they can still do some things to save taxes for 2011. And that happens to be for those who are self-employed, who have what's called a SEP IRA. Or if they want to set up a SEP IRA, they can actually go ahead and contribute up until the time they file their taxes. And that can be a very big bonus. So those who are listening who have not filed, who have not opened up a SEP IRA or contributed to last year's SEP IRA ought to definitely do so. You can make a big hit on your taxes. And that's probably the main thing. The rest of the little tax tips that are out there, they're true.
Well, Doug, what is the maximum that you can?
Well, right now you can always go ahead and do 15% of your gross income, actually of your net income, as a self-employed. And by the time you go ahead and do so, you can put aside as much as $20,000+, which could knock off, depending on your tax bracket, it could knock off maybe about $7,000 off your taxes. And if you do it right and you have a spouse, and the spouse is also part of your business, you can double that. So you can get a big, healthy hit. It's a little complicated doing the math, but the important thing is if you can do it, do it.
And you're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question about your taxes, about financial planning, insurance, college funding, or retirement planning, call us on the open lines at 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783. 860-9783. Well, you know, Doug, now we have to dial those extra three numbers, right?
That's right.
In North Carolina. So if you're out there, remember, if your calls are not going through, make sure that you add the area code 919-860-9783. Yes, 860-9783. Well, very interesting things are happening in the media. Did you see that article about financial planning on a limited budget?
I did see that article. It's from the Wall Street Journal, and I thought it was very interesting the way the article began. It began by saying you don't need a high net worth or complicated investments to create a financial plan. For a flat or an hourly fee, a certified financial planner can help you develop a savings plan, get your budget in order, and pay down debt. Now, I thought that was very interesting. Of course, I don't know if it's such new news to some of our clients because we've been doing this for over 20-some years. But at least it was out there as a lead-in to a great article. And I thought the article was focusing on middle-class America. You know what I'm saying, Deborah?
I do. I do. I think there's a big need for people who are thinking that financial planning is above them or too expensive or that they're not supposed to be thinking about it now. Really could get something out of this article.
I like the idea, and I don't know, maybe I've just forgotten through the years that some people, a lot of people still think that financial planning is only for the very wealthy. And so this article brought it to the attention of the public that no, that's not so. However, there were a few things in the article to watch out for. One of them said most of the consultations when you do it this way are done over the phone and via email. Now, that is not, in my opinion, financial planning. There's some websites that are advertising. You can link into this website and you can have a financial planning consultation by telephone or by email. That I don't think is proper. I think you really need to have the face-to-face interaction with your client. If you are the financial planner and if you are the client, you want that face-to-face interaction. But this is a wonderful way for young people or those who suddenly have to manage their own finances to get off on the right foot.
And I think that's the biggest part, is that is a way to mobilize the people who have been thinking about it and didn't know how to get started.
That's right,
Deborah. Where do you go? Who do you ask? How do you get those questions that have been on a list and not been addressed yet answered?
And a simple example in the article was a person who said, well, she was advised just to raise the amount that she's been contributing to her retirement plan by 1% of her pay. I thought that's great. That's definitely the kind of thing you need to always beef up as much as you can when you're young, thinking of what it means in the future.
It is important to save, isn't it? And beefing up your emergency fund is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
From 3 months to maybe 6 months, because you never know when an emergency is going to come up. And we're living in a society that, is spending all the time. Spend, spend, spend. That's what the media is saying. But I agree with you, Debs. It's important to think about saving and what are the ways that you can do that.
And that's what I think is the long-term plan that most people need to know about. Is, am I saving for retirement well? Is there something that I should do? Is there something I could do better? And I think that's what this service would provide.
Right. I'm 32 years old. Where do I go? What's the right way to do it? And for that part of the marketplace, and I remember some of our clients that were 32 years old, 30s, and they've now, through the years, they've become millionaires.
Financially
That's
independent.
That's right. They've
the
become
achievers in the bunch.
That's right.
You know, the
it's not that difficult if you've got the years and if you've got a plan. It can happen, and we have seen it happen many a time to our clients.
Absolutely. And I think most planners out there are going to have about an average of 15 years experience. And, you know, even if they don't, you might want to ask how many years experience they do have.
Yeah. The one service that was announced that I disagreed with was this sort of a national network of people that says, I think they called themselves myfinancialadvice.com or something like that, where they advertised all of our planners have 15 years experience and we only charge $135 an hour. and all communications are by phone. That's to be watched out for.
Okay, so I misread that part.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's right, Debs. It is important that you do meet with a financial planner who is not new. That's
right.
Exactly right. You do want someone who has many years of experience, who's been through the ups and downs, who has seen the market crash and come all the way back, who has seen all the life issues of diseases and crises that happen. You do want that, but you don't want it by a shortcut version by telephone. Now, there are, in the article, there are some people who are being quoted, and I like this, that you can simply have face-to-face meetings anywhere, the article said, from $180 an hour to $240 an hour. That's more than worth it. That's very reasonable if you think that way, and you're going to be putting your life in order. It's for young adults who don't really have great changes that they're expecting.
Remember the old saying, you get what you pay for. If you didn't pay for it, beware.
Well, I think the
more important thing is that if you're working with someone that has experience, that has expertise, and that has the knowledge to answer your questions, to give you direction, and to give you a comfort about what you should be doing in your own personal situation. Because everyone needs to plan. You're never too young to plan, and you're never too old to plan. Because
there's always something to plan for.
That's right.
You know, that's the good news.
That's the good news.
You know, there's more life, there's more to plan.
You got to get those, figure out, you know, how much should I be contributing to my 401k? Should I be doing to the match or to the max? And what about insurance? Do I need more if I have little children? And also, very important is the estate planning. Have you set up guardianship for your children, et cetera? So if you're listening right now and you've got a question about your situation, call us on the open lines at News Radio 680 WPTF. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. We'd love to hear your calls. The number to call is 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF.
And didn't we have something to announce tonight, Doug?
We did. We wanted to let all of our listeners know that for those new clients that schedule appointments for the month of April, we will be giving you a free copy of an outstanding financial planning book called The Wealthy Barber. All clients that schedule appointments for the month of April will be given a free copy of The Wealthy Barber. So do call our office or go onto our website to schedule the appointment.
Our number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000.
Financial planning, Linda, is really, I think a lot of people are wondering what kinds of questions they should ask about financial planning. I think a lot of people really don't know.
Well, I guess the main thing to ask is, what is financial planning?
Well, now that's a good question. What is financial planning? I always think everybody knows, but I guess they don't. Financial planning, Linda, is a way, well, you might think of financial planning as a roadmap, a way to get from here to there with the fewest detours and potholes. Now, undoubtedly, you've got certain specific lifetime goals. Everybody does. Maybe the goals are a comfortable retirement, or college education for your kids, or a business that you want to start, or an estate that you want to pass on to your family, or maybe a charity, or some dream home you want to build. Well, personal financial planning helps you reach those goals through the development and proper management of your finances. That, in other words, financial planning isn't a product, it's a process. And you may use certain financial products like mutual funds or insurance or creative solutions like wills and trusts to get there, but the ends that you're trying to reach are basically dependent upon the process, which is financial planning.
What is the financial planning process?
It's a series of steps, Lynn, that are taken to help you achieve your goals. Now, the qualified financial planner, who's a certified financial planner, should first gather and analyze data about your income and your expenses, about your taxes, about your insurance, your retirement plans, your wills, your trusts, about your investments, and any other information that's pertinent to your overall financial situation. And then the planner should help you set realistic goals and identify certain key issues concerning those goals, and maybe even make a list of recommendations and strategies for achieving them. And once you've decided which recommendations to follow, then the planner should be able to help you implement those decisions. And the last step in this process is to periodically review and revise the plan. Because, you know, Lynn, one size doesn't fit all in financial planning. It's a set of goals and strategies that are tailored to meet specific values, abilities, and needs of each individual client.
Well, Doug, sometimes some people wonder, isn't financial planning just for the wealthy?
Yeah, a lot of people think it is, but it's not, Lynn. Financial planning is not at all for the wealthy, nor is it about getting wealthy. It's about helping you achieve your goals, whatever your level of affluence. Now, anyone who wants to take control of his or her financial life and make good financial decisions can use financial planning. Years ago, the financial life of the average family was relatively uncomplicated. But boy, I'll tell you, as people are living longer, there's increased complexity, a more complex, dynamic financial world for all of us. And financial planning is really no longer a luxury, but it's a necessity for most Americans.
Yes, it certainly is. Now, is financial planning really that important today? Some people wonder.
Well, yeah. Well, think of it this way, Lynn. Many retirees today are going to live 30 or more years in retirement, requiring far more in the way of financial management to maintain their desired lifestyle, with inflation going up over a 30-year period. And then consider this. Social Security and company pensions are no longer able to provide the majority of the retirement funds for many people. So if you don't do planning, you may be having a disaster waiting for you. And then another thing that's happening is tax laws. They're changing almost every year. And think about it this way. There's no longer job security. So is financial planning really important? Boy, I'll say it's important.
And, you know, statistics say that the average American changes jobs about 7 times in a lifetime. And there are millions of Americans who are self-employed. And because they're self-employed, they demand new approaches towards saving and retirement and taxes and estate planning, right?
Yeah. You know, Lynn, there's another situation just occurred to me that a lot of people are facing. It's couples who have children later in life are finding the sandwich generation facing them, where they're trying to pay for college and also help their elderly parents while trying to save for their own retirement. So they got 3 goals they're trying to meet with one income: taking care of their kids' college, taking care of their parents who need help, and planning for their own retirement. And it is a real stress.
You should work with a financial planner, a certified financial planner that can assist you in addressing the goals and the objectives that you have in your world. Well, Doug, another question that people wonder about is, how do I know if I really need financial planning?
Well, you ask yourself certain questions, Lynn. Questions like maybe, let's say you're confused about the vast array of investment options that are out there. Or maybe you're unclear about how your current investments are performing. Or is the risk that you've got with your present investments appropriate for your goals? Or are you uncertain whether you've got the right kinds and amounts of insurance coverage? Have you created an estate plan that's proper? And are you paying too much in taxes? You just ask these questions to yourself. And if any of these questions trigger, yes, that's me, then right away you need to meet with a certified financial planner.
Another thing that people wonder about is, how can financial planning benefit me?
The benefits? Well, first of all, it's going to give you a clear picture, perhaps for the first time in your life, of where you stand financially. Many families have no idea how much money they have in their estate, or how they spend their money, or what they want their money to do for them. Financial planning will give direction and give discipline. And as the pieces try to come together, all of a sudden, the picture is a composite picture. If they don't fit together, there may be conflicts which compound the problem. So what financial planning benefits to you, or what the benefits are, is it integrates your assets with your goals and your objectives to help you achieve those goals by motivating you to action. You know, if you are not increasing your wealth each year, and a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are working day to day to day to day to day to day, but they're not gaining anything. Well, there's something wrong there. Your wealth should be increasing throughout your working years to support you after you stop working.
Yes, you certainly do need to be accumulating. And, you know, Doug, a lot of the folks that I speak with that call in at the office generally want some direction or they want some education so that they know how to make those choices. And by working with a financial planner, the planner can help define and explain things that sometimes folks just feel ashamed or they feel inadequate or feel confused.
And it's very common with husbands and wives. They handle money differently. They don't communicate well about money and about financial goals. And they need the help of a financial planner to really work with together to see it from both his view and her view.
Well, Doug, how does financial planning work?
Well, first, you and your planner identify and prioritize those lifetime goals. What's realistic for your circumstances and what isn't realistic? The planner then will gather the data, review the cash flow, the insurance, the net worth, and then assess your investments and your retirement needs and your taxes and your estate plan. And with your goals and resources in mind, the planner will design a personalized financial plan that helps you reach your goals by making the most of the resources that you've got. Now, once that plan is produced, then he or she will implement specific strategies to carry out the plan. This may be building on an emergency fund or beginning an investment program or purchasing disability or long-term care insurance, but the implementation follows the plan.
Write down some of the questions that you have, and certainly if there's anything we can do to assist you with this, we'd be happy to do so. And that number here in Raleigh is 872-7000, USA 7000. Remember to add 919 when you call us in Raleigh. Again, that number is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. Call us at Lewis Financial Management, and we'll set up an appointment for you. Well, Doug, let's take a caller.
Hi, Frank. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner. How can I help you this evening?
Yes, Doug and Linda, thank you for your great program.
Thank you
for calling.
Later in the year, I'm going to retire, and I'll be coming into some money through the sale of some land. And then also, I'll be taking over my 401k plan. That's what I meant by coming into some money. And I'm doing some reading and research and trying to educate myself better on investments, but especially mutual funds. So how do you start? I think there are 9 or 10,000 individual funds. And then there are fund families.
And it gets even more complicated than that because you have fund of funds, you have wrap accounts, you have ETF funds, you have index funds, and you're exactly right. It's very complicated. I would say, first of all, in terms of just broad general education, you should find a fee-based financial planning professional, whether it's myself or someone else, that can go ahead and face-to-face walk you through the educational division of how funds work, what funds are out there, and so on. But on the air, what I can tell you is this. A mutual fund is a pool of either stocks or bonds. Let's just think about stock mutual funds for the moment. So a mutual fund is going to have less risk than an individual stock because you may have 100 stocks in a fund, and so your money is now reduced in its risk because it's spread over 100. But number two, that's not good enough because then the kinds of stocks in that fund will be the category of mutual funds. So let's say that you want only the safest stocks called blue chips. That means you want a growth and income fund, meaning a mutual fund that has blue chip stocks that produce dividends. But then the question is, do you choose mutual funds that have managers or don't have managers? My advice is never choose a mutual fund that does not have a manager. Or to say it another way, don't buy index funds, because index funds are just buying an equal spread across the market, and that's how people jokingly called their 401k drop to a 201k in 2008, because there was a 50% swing from the high to the low of the index. What you want are mutual funds who have managers that have consistently outperformed their indexes. Then besides that, you want mutual funds whose managers are still on that fund.
Now, this is not so easy to find because they don't advertise that. They advertise the record of the fund, but the manager may have been only on there for a year or two. He may have come from another fund. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you definitely want to have mutual funds who have active managers. And then after you have that, and I like to have managers who have been on the fund for over 10 years. That means they have seen the ups and downs. They were there in 2008, and you can evaluate their performance. They were there in 2002. You can evaluate their performance. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've read two or three books, and then numerous articles in financial magazines.
All right.
And you know, I don't expect to be able to select and pick out 10 or 20 mutual funds.
What's the size of the 401k that you'll be receiving?
It's about $450,000.
All right, $450,000. You certainly are not going to want to have 20 mutual funds. You're exactly right.
So, what I'm leading up to, I think, is in order and before I meet with a planner, I want to educate myself a little bit better. So, one question is: there are these mutual fund families, which there could be an advantage of staying in one family. What are some of the mutual fund families that are kind of best of class? They can't all be the same.
Well, it's not that they're best of class. They have a different philosophy. That's where I think the confusion comes. It's not that certain families are best of class, but each mutual fund family has a philosophy that permeates all of the funds in the family. For example, the Vanguard family of funds is basically, their philosophy is more or less using index funds, not so much managers. Well, if we're looking for active managers and a family that has active managers, that philosophy might not be the one we're looking for.
Well, what are some mutual fund families, just, you know, three or four off the top of your head that might be fund families to pursue?
The only thing I can tell you, because I'm prohibited on the air because of securities regulations of making any security recommendation. If you call my office, though, I can do it over the telephone directly to you. But on the air, I can't make recommendations. I'm not allowed to. And it could be conceived as if I'm recommending this fund family or that fund family. But you're exactly right. There are. There are probably about 10 mutual fund families that right off the bat I can think of, and I know the philosophies of each of them, and I have my feelings about different ones.
Are you married, Frank?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about your situation.
Yeah. All right, we're married. We're in our middle 60s, and we own a home with no mortgage. And
yes, sir.
What's the piece? Great. You said you've got a piece of property that you're selling.
Yeah, it's some raw land that's it's going to bring in $365, and I've got a profit of over $100 in it.
All right, so you're going to have about $25,000 in taxes on that?
Well, I was counting on selling it next year when I'm not working and getting the lower 15%. That would be my income for next year.
One of the things you may want to reconsider, I personally would not approach it that way, because you also run the risk that we will have a new tax act with a higher tax bracket for capital gains rather than this year. So you could be shooting yourself in the foot. But even so, I would go ahead and meet with a financial planner that will put a true financial planning approach looks at both sides of the world.
Uh-huh.
So what you're saying is you're going to have what's called a qualified portfolio of about 450. Then you'll have maybe about 300, and let's say after taxes, if you did do it this year, maybe about 330,000 in a non-qualified or a personal portfolio. Looking at it that way, then the two of them together would be how you would meet your income needs. And of course, you want to look at the tax impact of drawing income from the two of them. If you draw, you're over 59 and a half, so you don't have to worry about a 59 and a half penalty. But between the two of them, hang on, let me do a quick number for you. 450.
Wait a minute. Did you say that you were selling it for 365, but your profit would be 125, roughly?
Roughly, yeah. That's correct, yeah. And I could sell it late in the year, but I'm looking at selling it in 2013 when I won't have any income.
Do you know what? That really isn't the issue
Well, it would lower my taxes. It's not in a lower tax bracket.
Not really, because it'll be capital gains either way.
Can you hold for just a second, Frank? Hold on just a moment.
Sure.
And don't hang up.
All right.
No need to hang. Hold on.
Yeah,
we're good.
We thought our programmer said we had a technical problem, but it's gone away. I wanted to ask you, do you know what your living expenses are?
Yes.
About how much are your expenses?
Probably $7,000 a month.
All right. These two portfolios should be able to give you about $3,000 a month. So with $3,000 a month coming in to your buckets to cover your expenses, then the question will be, will you be drawing Social Security? Well, not at age 60. Oh, you're in your mid-60s. You will be drawing Social Security.
I could.
You could.
Yeah,
These are the kinds of things that a financial planning consultation should address. How to look at, should I or shouldn't I take the Social Security now? Should I go ahead and take the rollover now, or as soon as I retire? And should I start drawing from it? What will be the tax impact of the income coming out of it?
Well,
how do I structure the portfolio inside the rollover? And then what about the property to put together the other portfolio? Because that portfolio will give you income at far less taxes.
Right. Well, plus I've got some non-retirement assets, so I'm not planning on taking Social Security for a few more years.
Well, in each of these cases, the whole financial planning process should encompass all of it, the tax impact, the living expenses, and then that will dictate how many mutual funds you should have in each portfolio. And then more importantly than how you have them, it's what happens after you've got them. What is the philosophy of rebalancing them? And when do you change them? Mutual funds should not be considered a static one-time, this is it for the rest of my life. That's how people really get hurt.
Right, right.
And then once you retire, Frank, what are your plans? Are you and your wife going to travel, or did you need to do some updating on your estate planning? Do you have some grown children?
Yes, we have. And we've already actually worked out some life goals. And
it sounds like you're ready for a consultation with a financial planner.
Goals.
Well, that's great. Well, this is kind of an exciting time in your life, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. I just wanted to learn something about investments, but I'm sorry you couldn't.
Well, I think what you're missing is not which is the best mutual fund family.
There may be four or five from what I've read.
It's far more sophisticated answer than that. There's no such thing as the best. I could give you the best mutual fund performance in any mutual fund family, and still it would not help you gain, well, how much did they lose? Did they outperform their peers? You want to see what did they do against their index? And each fund in the family will also have a different track record. So it doesn't work that way. It's more like getting an understanding of how do you structure the portfolio. The beginning process for you, Frank, is you must know how many classes of mutual funds you want. What's the size of each of those funds in each class? And then of the two portfolios, how do you balance the two portfolios together? Then comes the question of, well, do I go to this family or these families and so on? Because you're going to also be running into issues of loads or commissions. So for sure you want to make sure that you keep your cost down the most.
Right. Well, I've even read that there are no load funds.
There are. There's no free lunch. And then you get inside and you have to analyze the fees. The no load fund says you can come in for free, and then you find out that the ongoing annual fees can be four times higher. So you have to have that worked. And that's what the financial planning consultation should walk you through.
Financial planning is comprehensive planning. And that does, you know, financial planning isn't just my investments. It covers all the aspects of your financial world, and it encompasses what you are feeling and what your wife is feeling about this whole situation, right?
Right. That's correct.
Well, call us at the office, and we'll be happy to send you an introductory packet or answer any more questions that you might have. Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000.
That's 919-USA-7000.
You can also go to our website. Our website is very informative. You may get a lot more information there also.
Okay.
And it's www.lfmadvisor.com.
Very good.
All right. Thanks so much for calling, Frank. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Bye. Bye now.
Bye.
Well, that was a very interesting caller.
Yeah, Lynn, it's unfortunate. So many people think it's a quick little down and dirty. What's the best mutual fund? Or what's the best mutual fund family? And it doesn't work that way. To one person, this is the best mutual fund family because their money was the safest through the years. To another, it's, oh, well, these mutual funds over here outperformed the others and had more risk and more volatility. So it's much more aimed at the person. And I think what Frank really needs, of course, is a consultation which lets him and his planner interact to see which family or which mutual funds will meet his comfort level the best.
And I'm very glad to see, you know, I think one of the articles that we were going to go over tonight during the show, I'm very glad to see that Frank and his wife over their lifetime have accumulated in a retirement plan, have accumulated assets that will be able to support them and their lifestyle in retirement. But as you had said earlier, it's important to make sure that you work with a fee-based financial planner that can help you sort out and answer all the questions that will enhance what your income will be in retirement.
Well, I think one of the things that I often hear is, just like our last caller, do I need to be educated to come in and see a financial planner? And I think one of the best things about a financial planner and anyone in the who is a certified financial planner is they're geared towards educating you. So when you walk away, you know more than when you walked in. You're not going to be sold a product. You're going to be educated.
That's the whole goal of a real financial planning consultation is to get the education. You don't get
because
the
it's for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Exactly.
You know,
and paying a fee for advice,
not for a sales of a product,
because you've spent your whole lifetime accumulating those assets. So it is worth every penny you spend to get advice,
to get a professional opinion,
to get professional advice on what to do for the present and the future. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question and you would like to join us on the show, call us on the open lines at 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF.
Well, during the week, I was looking for things that were topical for us to talk about. And one of the things I came across was eight potential money pitfalls for retirees. And it began by saying that for many Americans, retiring means entering a new realm of financial realities, from learning to live on a pension or Social Security checks to downsizing to a smaller home. And unfortunately, while retirement can be a great time to enjoy the later years of life, there are several pitfalls to watch out for. Watch out for to guarantee your money lasts.
Yeah, the pitfalls for retirees need to be very, very boldly imprinted on the retiree's mentality. And the first one is with regard to credit cards. Retirees who do decide to carry any credit cards, in my opinion, Deborah, they should have them paid off every month. Don't build up credit card expenses after you retire. So that's the first thing I think should be.
Are those the type of people that would pay reoccurring monthly expenses with a credit card and then at the end of the month pay that credit card bill off?
Yes, Deborah. And the reason I like that so much is that allows, you know, a lot of people get confused about money management versus financial planning. Financial planning should start with the living expense needs of the client and work backwards from there. That's one of the things I would have liked to tell Frank if he comes in for a face-to-face appointment is we want to look at your living expense needs and design the proper investment, the funds that are most consistently able to meet, to give the income to meet the needs.
To meet the living expense needs.
But with the credit card that paid off every month, you can analyze what your expense is, and that really makes the planning process a lot easier.
Yes, it's tracking what are you spending your money on.
Just to look back, just to see. Not exactly. To keep a budget, but to really be able to say, oh, the last 12 months I spent X dollars on X
gifts
things.
Or
groceries, utilities, whatever it is.
Yes.
Now, one of the big problems that retirees are faced with is the matter of long-term nursing care insurance. And personally, I am very concerned about what's called LTC insurance. It can be a great option for some people, but for other people, it is not at all a great option because it's extremely expensive. In my opinion, most of the time, you're buying a product that doesn't give you the benefits you want. What you want is to be covered the first day you go in. That means no waiting period.
Right.
But not many companies offer that anymore.
Sadly.
Secondly, you want a God forbid scenario that the policy will cover you if you're there for the rest of your life, for the rest of your life.
Lifetime coverage, yes.
Most of them don't do that anymore. And the ones that do are very expensive. So I think that's something to beware of. Don't bite the bullet real fast and say, I'm going to buy some long-term nursing care insurance.
It may be too expensive for your budget.
And just to buy a cheaper policy, you are buying a watchdog with no teeth.
Right.
Another issue has to do with reverse mortgages.
Now, the reverse mortgages are very interesting, Linda. They are very interesting for retirees. They can be a great product for many retirees who need a lump sum or who need a monthly income. Now, personally, I like the monthly income provisions better because that lets you turn your home into a monthly pension for you, and you never have to pay it back. The rest of your life, you don't have to pay it back. It needs to be approached in a financial planning context, but I do think that it's very often it's perfect for retirees.
So the loans are paid when you die, right?
Yeah, the bank turns around and starts giving you a monthly check from the value of your home, and you never have to pay it off as long as you're living in that home or are alive. And when you finally move, then at that time, then the home is sold and the excess.
Pay back the debt.
Yeah. But it makes it very nice. The reverse mortgage program was set up. I like it a lot in many cases. Another thing to watch out for, however, and this is a real issue, this matter of annuities. They often sound very good. They're being sold to a lot of retirees, but golly day, they are chock full of hidden fees. And in my opinion, retirees are much better served by getting fee-only investment advice through a fee-only investment advisor rather than buying an annuity. And of course, I don't know if you remember, but there was the article that we saw this past week of this annuity salesman. This insurance salesman
who was in the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, the guy's going to prison.
Right.
He's going to jail.
Right. It was striking. And because I think the biggest thing was that he was the first one who has had a punishable offense.
Yeah. And I really liked in that particular article, because we've been warning people about this, but the insurance commissioner from the state of California said agents who steal from venerable seniors will not get away with their shameful tricks any longer. And the guy was convicted of a felony theft conviction for selling an annuity to an 83-year-old woman. So be careful. Be very careful of annuities. They're targeted at retirees.
Life insurance.
Yeah, life insurance. I was waiting for you to ask me about life insurance. Life insurance is another thing to be very careful of. First of all, what kind of insurance? Term or whole life? Well, be aware that whole life is the most expensive. Of course, it sold the most because it pays the highest commission to the agent. There were several articles we saw this past week on how much were the commissions. I think the Wall Street Journal it was that actually had one that was quoting that commissions on life insurance are sometimes 50% of the first year's premiums. So whole life insurance is promoted. Term life insurance may be the much better option if you need it for a period of time only. But if at all possible, get term insurance. Maybe you get early retirement at age, let's say age 55 or age 60, and you can get insurance to cover you until Social Security begins, something like that.
You know, Doug, certainly these products are out there, and I think for all of our listeners, if you're addressing this aspect of your financial planning world, if you're buying insurance or you're buying an annuity, get educated and ask questions about the fees.
Good. Very good, Linda.
Everything should be disclosed up front for your own protection, right?
That's right.
Ask those questions.
And I think a lot of those things that can go wrong are phone scams. Those tend to prey on the elderly or just the other person on the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can say anything you want and not be a responsible for it. So also shady salespeople. I think this is the last of an era of where you actually have to pick up the phone and actually listen to somebody. But shady salespeople are going to be face-to-face or on the phone. And if you can just really avoid a world of hurt just by asking, how are you paid? And if you're not given a clear explanation, it's usually just a big red flag.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question, you can call us right now. Join us on the show. Call the open lines at 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF. And if you would like to schedule an appointment, as Doug mentioned earlier, for any clients that are would like to schedule an appointment in the month of April, we are giving a free book to all of our listeners that schedule an appointment in April, and you can call us for further information and to schedule an appointment at Lewis Financial Management. Our number in Raleigh is 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000. Well, let's take another call.
Rolf, how can I help you this evening?
Doug, the question I have is my wife and I are in a position now where we're able to invest regularly, maybe $1,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder what you think would be a good way to go.
Depends on the person. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Rolf. How old are you?
I'm 44 years old. My wife is 40. Our children are grown, and our debts are paid.
Kids grown.
We do not own a house.
What's your income, Rolf?
Oh, $75,000, $80,000 a year.
$75,000 to $80,000. Is your wife working?
Yes, she drives with me.
All right.
Both drive.
Oh, you're drivers. All right.
Yes,
and is the $75,000, is that family income?
Yes.
Okay, so combined income $75,000.
I'm also retired from the military. That gives us.
Do you ever? And you've got retirement income coming in?
Yes, probably $85,000, $90,000 total.
All right, so maybe another $15,000,
yeah,
coming in on retirement income. Now let me see. What are your living expenses running, Rolf?
Minimal. We live on the road, just minimal.
How much of that $90,000 are you spending? See,
I'm sorry. We can do more. I mean, we can even do $1,000 a week.
All right.
I'm just trying to figure out which way to go with it.
They may be as much as $1,000 a week surplus, which is about $50,000 a year.
Yes, sir.
All right. Tell me what you've got. How much do you have in cash and CDs?
I've got about $10,000 cash I can invest right now. We've just recently started we each have an IRA.
How much do you have in IRAs?
We just each last week put $1,000 in.
So you put in $2,000 in IRAs.
Right.
All right. What else do you have?
That's it.
So this income has just reached this point.
Yes.
And the expenses just dropped.
Exactly.
Okay, so now you're just starting your investment,
yes,
portfolio.
Exactly.
I see where you're coming from. You want to go ahead and start with your emergency fund, and you wouldn't touch that.
Right.
If that money, I would say leave the $10,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even touch it.
I thought I'd put it in a money market.
That's right. That's your emergency fund.
Right.
Then you go from there. And if you can invest $1,000 a week, that's very good. I'd go ahead and pick maybe one or two, yeah, to put in $2,000 into one. I'd put it into a growth and income fund to start one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd pick a second one, let's say, into a corporate bond fund. Then I would go ahead and I would pick a family of funds as I'm working, because you're going to be building this portfolio.
Right.
I wouldn't be concerned about load or no load, commissions or non-commissions. I'd look totally at the performances of the managers.
Okay.
I'd go and then I would pick a unit size. If you're going to be investing $48,000, let's say, over the next year,
mm-hmm,
then you're going to have we'll call it 50 to round it off with zeros.
Okay.
You're going to have $50,000 the first year, then $100,000 invested the second year, and so on. Well, with a $50,000 portfolio, I would say that you could probably start with $10,000 units,
mm-hmm,
meaning that you're sending in $2,000 a month, And after the first fund, after one of those funds reaches 10,000, that growth and income fund, and at the same time you've got that bond fund going, and when you've put in five 2,000s over there, then shift.
Yes, sir.
Then go ahead and get your and start your second growth and income fund.
Right.
And then my second bond fund, I might even go into a balanced fund.
Okay.
A balanced fund would be half stocks and half bonds.
The big question was, should I stay with one family?
Yes.
Should I just diversify and go with a bunch of different families?
No, you want the management style of a family and diversify within that family, because the management style will be the thing that will dominate all of the different managers throughout all of the funds.
I'll call you Monday.
Yeah, and the number here in Raleigh is 919-872-7000.
872-7000.
That's it.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
And happy trucking.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug Lewis. If you have a question you'd like to ask Doug this evening, you can call us on WPTF phone lines at 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of town callers anywhere in North Carolina, it's toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And on your car phone, just hit *680.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.